We are kicking off today's podcast episode with a giveaway. Who doesn't love getting free stuff, especially when it's free, clean beauty products? Who doesn't want to win that? All you have to do is leave a 5-star rating and review of the show on iTunes or Spotify. Then you'll take a screenshot of your review and send me a DM with it or email me it. You will be entered into the giveaway and I will randomly select one winner. If you have already left a rating review, you can still enter by sending me that screenshot. There's a limited amount of products, so make sure that you get onto this as soon as possible. Good luck! Welcome to Balance Your Life Podcast. My name is Megan Farrell, and I am the host of the show. This podcast is designed to inspire and empower you to start and maintain your own wellness journey so you can become the best version of yourself. Let's begin. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Balance Your Life Podcast. I am your host, Megan Farrell Gordon. Happy Monday, happy new start of the week, and we have a really interesting, very cool episode for you today, and one that, honestly, if you're listening to this podcast, it affects us all, and today's topic is all about blue light. So today on the podcast, I am joined by Daniel Ibbett. Daniel is the founder and CEO of a premier global brand for blue and artificial light blocking products. He promotes and educates on the science behind modern phenomena such as digital eye strain and poor sleep, and the connections these have with screen overuse. Through his innovative product range, he champions eye health, sleep quality, and well-being. Daniel's company has now become recognized as one of the most trusted international brands and leaders in blocking blue light technology. Block Blue Light is passionate about what they do and delight in helping people live their healthier lives. Their aim is to make mitigating blue light a mainstream concern and give people tools and knowledge to be able to be their best selves in the digital age today. On this episode, we talk about how blue light affects our overall health and well-being, and how to reduce the amount of blue light we are exposed to daily. We also discuss signs, symptoms, and side effects. We may be getting too much blue light, and so much more. Daniel and the Block Blue Light team have very generously offered the Balance Your Life podcast community a discount code of 15% off of your order, so you can use the code Megan, M-E-G-H-A-N, at checkout for 15% off of your order. Definitely go check out their blue blocking glasses. They have both ones for the daytime and nighttime. I'm personally eyeing the nighttime ones just because I feel like it'll help me wind down and get into a more restful sleep and, you know, be the start of my evening routine. So definitely go check it out and then use the code Megan, M-E-G-H-A-N, for 15% off of your order. With that, please welcome Daniel of Block Blue Light to the Balance Your Life podcast. Energy Bits are tiny nutrition tablets made purely of algae, a sustainable whole food crop that supports your body and immune system. Some of the benefits include better physical performance, reducing heavy metals and toxins, improving memory, supporting the immune system, recovering from physical exercise, and so much more. I add a handful of these tablets into my smoothies every single day. You guys have seen it on my Instagram stories. It's easy to do, requires little effort on my end, and makes a huge difference in my well-being. Right now, Energy Bits is giving all Balance Your Life podcast listeners 20% off when you use code Megan, M-E-G-H-A-N, at checkout on any of their products online. Use the link in the show notes to get your bag of algae tablets today. That's Megan, M-E-G-H-A-N, at checkout for 20% off of your bag. Welcome to the show, Daniel. I am so excited to have you on.
Yeah, awesome to be here. Awesome to be able to share my knowledge on all things light and health.
I would love to dive kind of right into the very start of this. You are the CEO and founder of Block Blue Light, but what led you down this path? Have you always been super into health and wellness? Was there something in your life that started as a catalyst that got you into this space?
Yeah, it's actually an interesting journey I've been on. So for me, it started about 10 years ago. So I was never into health and wellness. I had a really good time at university studying in IT and wasn't looking after myself. And then towards the end of university, I really started to take health and wellness quite seriously. I got into powerlifting competitively and really saw the benefits of how it improved my ability to learn and perform outside of the gym. So then that evolved into kind of dieting and looking at food and how I can utilize that. And then I graduated university and I moved over to Australia to start my career in the corporate world. That was my dream, was to climb the corporate ladder, coming out of university. And whilst I was still very, very passionate about health and wellness, just from the last couple of years of how it made me feel and be able to perform. And very quickly starting my career in IT is I noticed my health to start to decline very rapidly, regardless of all the things I was still doing, what I considered was like the things you do for health, which is do a lot of exercise and eat well, and everything else takes care of itself, right? That was how I used to view the world back then. And what started happening was within about 6 months of starting my job, I started to develop quite a severe insomnia and quite severe headaches and migraines during the day. And I kind of did what most people would do, is I just went to my doctor and was like, what's going on here? I don't know what's going on. And from that point, they started to prescribe me all sorts of prescription drugs. And ultimately, that made me feel a lot worse. And then it started going down the like, oh, you're depressed, here's antidepressants, here's some antipsychotics, to the right, to the point of it's in your head, like there's nothing wrong with you. It's like this is crazy, like it makes no sense. So, and by this stage I've literally had to give up going to the gym, give up my powerlifting passion, literally just to try and survive, to be able to continue to work. And I kind of got to the point where I was just like, enough of that. Like, I'm done with the doctors. Like, honestly, this is just making me worse. So I thought about it, I was like, well, what I do in my job is I problem solve. Like, it's like a part of being in IT is like analytical mind, trying to work out how to make systems work. And I was like, well, how do I look at my system, my body, and work out what's gone wrong? And I was like, well, obviously something's changed for this to happen. It doesn't just happen by itself. So I started just trying to research a lot around what it could be. And I discovered the work of a neurosurgeon in the US called Dr. Jack Cruz. And he had some interesting concepts that I'd never even considered. So he was really talking about essentially three pillars of health, which is light, water, and magnetism. And the light area really, like, sung out to me straight away. I was like, whoa, okay, like I'm now working in an office under fluorescent lighting on screens all day. I'm then going from there to the gym, which is also fluorescent lighting, and then I'm going home and I'm then working on screens at night, because ultimately, and when you start out in IT, you've got to do a lot of after hours work. So I was like, all I'm doing is bouncing between all these artificial light environments. I'm never actually spending any time outside anymore. And essentially, that was where I was like, maybe there's something to this. Like, maybe I need to look into this more. And there's actually a big quote that stuck with me from Jack Cruz, because he's a very smart man, but he's the kind of stuff he talks about is very complex. It gets right into quantum biology and like very advanced concepts around the human body system and how it works and how it interacts with light. So it's very, very difficult to digest that sort of stuff. So I spent a long time reading his blogs and trying to understand all that. But there's a quote that stood out to me, and it was like, health is about light, it's not about food. And I was like, hold on a minute, that doesn't make sense. Like, I've been told like I need to eat healthy and I'll be and exercise, and that's all you need to do, and you'll be that's literally how you maintain health. And I was like, that's like, and I just that stuck with me. And so I started just trying to drill down some basic concepts from learning all this stuff. And what that was for me is I needed to look at how I could start to bring in more what I would call like what the light or the frequencies of light we should be getting in nature into the lifestyle I'm living. Because ultimately, I couldn't just, our modern lifestyles don't just allow you to go live outside 8 hours a day and interact how we would back in caveman days, right? It's not possible. So it was starting to look at how I could utilize different ways to interface the modern lifestyle with and bring down or bring in the right kind of frequencies of light. So one of the first things I did was I ordered a set of these big giant ugly safety glasses like off Amazon or somewhere like that. I couldn't find them in Australia at the time. They didn't exist. So they came in a couple of weeks and I literally started wearing them, like even in the office, and people were like, "What the hell? Like this guy is crazy!" Like, and within the space of a couple of months, like things just completely turned around, and I was like, "Holy shit! Like this is crazy!" Like, literally, just wearing a particular type of glasses that are filtering out certain frequencies of light are having such a profound impact, and it was from that point I was like, I had no intentions of starting a business or anything from that. And I was like, I need to share this with the world, right? Like I just started just buying more of those glasses, and I slapped together a very basic website at the time. And this is back when, this is like 8 years ago. So like the digital age hadn't really even started. Like there wasn't Instagram, Facebook was like new, there wasn't these tablets and no one had iPhones. And so it wasn't even really a big wide known problem back then, but I already saw it as a massive problem. And so ever since then, I've just been on like this mission to be able to like, hey, like guys, like this is a problem and we need to like find ways to make it healthier to interface with us, or it's going to have serious like impacts on our health.
Well, it's funny we were talking about this, and I think when people hear the word health and wellness, they think of like, yeah, don't eat sugar, eat pretty good, move your body, and you're golden.
Yeah.
And yes, I feel like that's a huge part of health and wellness, but you know, we some of us talk about going like go back to basics, and then we talk on our phones and we keep our phones in our pockets and we're watching TV. And even if we're working out, we're watching YouTube or an online studio and we're looking at the screen. And we talk about this idea of going back to basics. But the one thing nobody seems to really think about is this idea of like EMF and blue light and how detrimental it can actually be to our health. And you can be eating all the right food and moving your body and doing all the right things. And you know, we'll talk about some of the signs and symptoms you may be getting too much blue light, because I know that leaks into other parts of our lives too. But we don't really talk about how we talk about how great tech can be, but it can also be really, really hard on our health.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. It's like, yeah, tech is, it's a double-edged sword, right? It does so many benefits to the society and the world when used in the right ways. But the problem is like when it's overused or misused, it's so detrimental to health. And another thing I just find really interesting as well, like just coming from the world of like diet and being so hyper-focused on like, oh, I need to be keto or this or carnivore or that. And I'm like, oh, but wait, if you're just not sleeping well and you are sleep deprived, that is messing up your hormonal profile so much that it doesn't matter what carbs or what this or that you're eating, you'll never be healthy. Like, and so like I guess I've got a little bit of a biased view on it, but I'm like, you need to get you like the diet part sits down the ladder for me. You've got to get some real fundamentals in place before, so it's like sequencing these things correctly. And I'm not saying diet doesn't matter. It absolutely does, because you could have the worst diet in the world and do all the right light things, but you still won't be healthy, right? But like it's about like getting them in the right sequence and getting them all to work together to then like achieve like health, right? And like there's a whole other piece, like the stress piece and the mind and all that actually interfaces into it so importantly as well, that is what I believe is like seriously overlooked as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You had mentioned that you were struggling with insomnia and you were starting to develop migraines and headaches. What are some other signs that maybe people may not know about? Maybe they do, but maybe it's more like of a subtle sign and symptom that they might be getting too much blue light. Insomnia definitely being one of them, and migraines. Is there anything else that would be like a red flag, like you might be getting too much blue light?
Well, you can kind of break it down into two parts. First, you can talk about like the symptoms and signs you're getting too much blue light during the day, and ones during the night. So I'll probably start with the night because that's the really easy one to look at. So the obvious one at night is if you are feeling wired but tired and can't and like you can't sleep, or you can't fall asleep, you can't go to sleep, your mind's racing. These are all things that are like your mind is overstimulated, right? So blue light will stimulate. Essentially, when you receive blue light at night, it will stimulate the release of adrenaline and cortisol, which are wakefulness hormones. So, essentially, if you're getting that at the wrong time of the day, so we've evolved to receive no blue light at night. So, blue light comes from the sun, naturally from the sun, which is good to have during the day. But then, when the sun sets, there shouldn't be any blue light in the environment. So your brain doesn't know the difference between blue light from the sun and blue light from your devices. And so, if you think about before the advent of technology, humans would have used fire, right? There's no blue light in fire; it's red, orange, and yellow. So similar idea. But what we're doing now is the sun sets, we turn on all the lights in our home, which are LED lightings. We look at our TV screens, phone screens, and all these other devices, which essentially have extremely high levels of blue. And they really don't have much red, yellow, or orange in them, which are the actual frequencies that we should be receiving at night. So main symptoms there, can't sleep, can't fall asleep, can't stay asleep, feeling agitated at night. Another thing that's quite interesting as well is it can make you feel it can lead to you overeating and feeling hungry, because what blue light does is that actually stimulates a hormone called ghrelin. So ghrelin is what makes is the hunger hormone, right? So overexposure to blue light increases your ghrelin levels, so you stay stimulate elevated with hunger. The other thing it also does, which is crazy, is blue light so increases cortisol, which I talked about, which is a wakefulness hormone. But what cortisol does is cortisol increases insulin. And so, if you have chronically elevated cortisol, which causes chronically elevated insulin, that causes insulin resistance. So, then ultimately, that leads to weight gain. So, you go insulin resistance plus high ghrelin, which is hunger, you're just like setting yourself up to just overeat and just this perpetual cycle of then causing weight gain. So, that's like the link of blue light, overexposure to blue light, and gaining weight.
I didn't know. I knew not sleeping well could lead you to gaining weight, but I always had thought it had something to do with like your body not being able to metabolize. But I didn't realize that it was because of blue light spiking your insulin. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm like, even off the top of my head right now, I can think of people who are overweight. And I mean, there's a whole other health and wellness part that's missing from these people's lives. Absolutely. But they always tend to be the people who are like up late at night on their phone. Like you would see the next day them at like 1 o'clock in the morning on Facebook, or, you know, they were talking about binge watching a show or a movie late into the night, or they were just like on their phone. And you're like, you need to be sleeping because we know our body rests and recover then. But now there's a whole new other reason. I didn't make that distinction before. That's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's quite interesting just when you look at different frequencies of light and how it really plays into like the biological processes in the body. So like there's that link there, right? The link between blue light to cortisol to insulin to essentially weight gain. But like that's just one of those little pathways, right? And there's a whole bunch of different ones. And like, yeah, like you said, like there's the pathway of like, okay, blue light makes me so I don't sleep. So now I'm sleep deprived. And now that actually causes a whole bunch of different issues as well, which so when you combine all these different pathways that you're literally going against, like, because you're going against how nature is intending the types of light or what your body's supposed to receive is, yeah, you're just really setting yourself up for like a whole host of problems.
Okay, so staying with this, the theme of nighttime and trying to reduce our amount of blue light, what is an ideal thing or What should we have in our room, not have in our room? Should we be wearing blue blocking glasses from the moment the sun sets? Like, what is an ideal thing for us to do at night to reduce our amount of blue light?
Yeah, so the and quite interestingly, so yeah, we've got glasses and stuff like that. One of the biggest things you can do, so one of our biggest exposures in the evening is not only the screens and stuff, it's actually all the lights in your home. Like no one lives in the dark anymore. Like we're in a like this over illuminated world. If you look at how many lights there are in your home, and most people turn them all on, it's actually quite crazy when you look around. Like we walk past houses and it's just like beaming with like bright white light. So one of the biggest and most like profound changes that you'll have not only on yourself but everyone in the household is to start looking at how you can alter or change the lights you're using in your home. So it's like looking at ones that actually have the blue light frequencies removed for the evening. So that's one really big impact change that will help. That doesn't help avoid the screens and the close proximity of them. So that's where a set of glasses comes into play. But you've got to be careful with the blue light glasses because there's a lot of like these clear lens ones on the market and like cheap Amazon ones that will say like they're blue light filters. But the reality of it is you need to block 100% of the blue light and you need to have a proper like verified lens that has like spectrum reports to verify it actually blocks 100%. Because what would happen if you say had a lens that most of those ones block around 5 to 20%, but if you even had one that blocks say 90%, if you're sitting there on your phone and 10% of that blue light's still coming through, that's enough of a biological signal to the brain. Well, there's blue light in the environment. That means the sun is still somewhat up, so that will ultimately suppress your sleep hormone melatonin. It will stop you from actually coming into the rest and digest state. So having a set of glasses that are going to block 100% of blue light, timing wise, like there's kind of two ways you can look at it. You could either put them on just after sunset, so that's kind of replicating nature. The only issue with that sometimes is if you're using a really good set of glasses, it's going to make you feel very sleepy within about a half an hour to an hour of that. So depending on your lifestyle, it may not be the best thing to do. Certainly it would be good to start reducing the blue light exposure. So maybe if you had some blue blocking light bulbs that you put on, but you didn't put the glasses on yet. Another way with the glasses are either at sunset or at about a couple of hours before you want to go to sleep is a really good way to kind of, you can play around to play when you want to go to bed, put the glasses on, start completely eliminating your blue light exposure. It's going to allow your melatonin levels to rise and you're going to essentially just naturally start to feel sleepy.
I want to ask about your thoughts too on, I have heard of people switching light bulbs in either lamps or something at nighttime so they don't have like a bright overhead light on, but like switching them to red light bulbs so it's not that bright blue. And I haven't been able to figure out our light switch for our bathroom because I went the same way. I was like, I want a salt rock lamp in here. I want it to be super zen at nighttime. Like, I don't want these bright lights, but it's attached to the like, any of our electronics are attached to the light switch, I guess, as like a safety feature. So I haven't been able to like find that workaround yet. But I have heard of people switching out light bulbs in lamps and stuff and doing red light as a way to help reduce blue light in their lives at nighttime. Do you have any opinions on that?
Yeah, so well, first of all, like not all red light bulbs are created equal, so that's one thing to look at. So we've tested it. That's the thing we've looked at. We've pulled this whole thing apart and looked at it. So you could go to the hardware store and buy a red light bulb for probably $2 or $3, right? And the issue with them is they're a red shell, but inside it, it's this normal light bulb, right? So it's and whilst that red shell is doing somewhat of a filtering capability, when you actually like look at or analyze the spectrum analysis of it, it's still got a lot of blue and green in it, whilst it looks visually red. So the first thing you need to do is look at, okay, I want a red light bulb, or which it is a very good idea. Not potentially, you don't need to go all the way to red. So the red light bulbs block 100% of, if it's a good one, will block all the blue light plus all the green light spectrum. So there is a piece of research that was done to look at melatonin suppression and different frequencies of light. And so what that study showed was it was all of the blue light spectrum, but then it was about three quarters of the green light spectrum also would suppress melatonin to a lesser degree, but it would suppress it. It was a huge bell curve. And so the bell curve peaked around the mid spectrum of blue, but then all the way down it came through the green. So based on that, if you're aligning with science, you would go, well, I need to also block 100% of the green light spectrum up to 550 nanometers, or that three quarter point. So that generally warrants a red light bulb. The question is, with a red light bulb, is it practical to use when you're cooking dinner and all that? So I like to kind of do it twofold, where you use something that's blocking just the blue light frequencies for the early evening. So that's a warm amber, like candlelight kind of color. And then you shift over to a red light bulb that kind of 1 to 2 hours before, like bedside lamps and stuff like that. When you're kind of done for the evening, you might just be reading a book, or you're just really in that last wind down state, the red is perfect. And the key with the red is making sure it's pure red or pure amber. So essentially, the only way you're going to know that is by buying them from a company that's selling them for that reason. They're not selling them as a decorative party light bulb, because they're just designed to literally create a color. They're not designed to remove specific frequencies. So that's the key thing to look for. But absolutely, to your question, you should be looking to use these tools because they do help. And another thing to actually consider is overhead light versus light coming down to eye level and below. It's another biological trigger in the brain, because overhead light, blue light, the sun, light at eye level and below with red, fire. So again, biological kind of signaling and wiring of frequencies of light and where they're coming from, what angles they're hitting us on as well.
See, we keep talking about going back to basics, and there's so many things in our biological bodies that it's like the sun overhead, fire low to the ground. Like that makes total sense, and that's totally going back to, the dawn of time and when we lived without technology.
And it's like we're not saying turn off the lights and start a fire in your home and look at that. It's like, how can we still use technology to almost replicate or simulate in a certain way, so our brains take it in like it, like you are, in a way, going back to basics in nature, but not having to go back to literally with fire, you know?
Live like cavemen
Yeah.
or cavewomen, I guess. So let's switch it over to daytime. So many of us work in offices or under fluorescent lighting, or we work in malls, or we're on our phones checking things, social media, texting, talking. How can we be super preventative about blue light in a practical way? And how much of it should we or should be allowed to be getting a day before it starts to do? Become detrimental to our health.
Cool. Yeah, so the daytime puzzle is a harder one to control, because most of us can control our environment at home. You know, we can look at the tactics with the red lens glasses and the light bulbs and all these other things, but when you're in an office, you can't control all that lighting. You're not really going to wear, like what I did, I wore some big ugly glasses because I didn't really care what people thought, but most people probably won't. So you've got to, it's a little bit more tricky to look at how we can control our light environment during the day. But basically, during the daytime, most of us are in offices or indoors under either LED or fluorescent lighting, which is very, very, very high in blue light, quite high in green, with very little red, yellow, orange, red, and all the restorative wavelengths. So what we really need to look at doing is, so the issue with that to start with is you're taking a very narrow bandwidth of blue light. Now, when you look at blue light versus, say, the red lights, it's a shorter wavelength. So a shorter wavelength carries a higher amount of energy in it. Higher amount of energy coming into your eyes and skin in isolation will cause oxidative stress, damage, and breakdown, because it's not counterbalanced with the red and the longer healing wavelengths. In nature, everything is in balance, right? So if you go outside, the frequencies of light change throughout the day, but ultimately they are very balanced. So there'll be high levels of blue light. So this is quite an interesting argument, because you'll get the kind of the people that go like, oh, blue light's not a problem. There's no research saying, like, you know, the sun emits blue light and it's not damaging us. And it's like, yeah, the sun emits blue light, but it also emits all the other colors of the spectrum in balance, right? So when you're getting them all in balance, it's ultimately isn't causing damage. It's actually causing a lot of beneficial processes in the body. So blue light during the day is responsible for mood and energy regulation. It's responsible for serotonin and dopamine production. It's responsible for, so the serotonin production actually is what is then used later at night to produce melatonin. So what you so you actually need to get adequate amounts during the day. So the answer isn't put on a set of blue blocking glasses during the day and block out blue light from indoors, because that will then tell your brain it's nighttime during the daytime. So first of all, you're confusing the brain because it creates a circadian rhythm mismatch. So your brain is wired for day night cycles, right, on a 24-hour cycle. And so you put on a set of glasses that block out all blue light, it goes, well, oh, the sun is set, cool, it's nighttime, even though it's potentially the middle of the day. And then what that does is you don't get enough blue light, that drops down serotonin, dopamine. So that then ultimately lowers your mood, lowers your energy levels, lowers your motivation. So over time, if you start to reduce too much blue light during the day, you're actually going to do probably worse off with a whole bunch of other problems. So what it's about during the daytime is looking at your environment and going, okay, I'm getting far too much of these frequencies of blue light. How do I just bring it down to kind of what would be more normal levels where it's not having such detrimental impacts? So ultimately, we can't change the lighting in the office. So what we need to look at it is a set of glasses, but they need to have very specific specifications to filter very specific frequencies of blue light. So this gets a little bit technical, but I'll break this down a little bit to make it easier. So blue light is a range. It's measured in nanometers of wavelength. So it starts at 400 nanometers and it finishes at 500. That's the full spectrum of blue light. So you get that all outside and even amounts. Indoors, LED lighting, digital devices, they don't emit the full spectrum of blue light. They emit 455 nanometers of blue light. Huge, big, narrow spike of 455 nanometers. So when you're wearing a set of glasses, blue light glasses for the daytime, they need to focus on that 455 and they need to bring that down. So the issue you've got is if you go out to the marketplace right now and you look for a set of blue light glasses for the daytime, like the clear lenses, first of all, you probably wouldn't find the specifications of what they're filtering. What are they filtering the 455 nanometers? Are they filtering what? I would just say like blue light filter filters blue light by 20%, 10%, 30%, right? Well, what does that mean? So we actually looked at all this and broke down and got our devices out and measured it. And the reality is most of the glasses will use this reflective coating. You've probably seen it where it reflects a bit of blue light off them, or you've seen like people wearing them, there's a little reflective coating. And you're like, oh, well, those are blue light glasses. They're reflecting the blue light off me and not coming into my eyes. Now, that technology can really only filter blue light up to 420 nanometers. So it can't even get to the 455 nanometers where it all matters. So you could filter 100%, 50%, anything, get 420, 430. You're not actually getting exposed to that from the digital devices because they're emitting 455 nanometers. So it really comes down to the details and what you're using to help bring down those levels. If your glasses aren't filtering blue light by at least 40% at 455 nanometers, they're really not going to have very little impact in protecting you against the overexposure from the screens, the lighting, and everything else that we're getting from the indoors. So it's quite, I know it sounds quite technical, but it's actually a very, very important part that most people would overlook because they're too busy looking at the different frame styles and the what's going to make me look awesome with my Instagram selfies and stuff, as opposed to the, like what it actually matters is like the specifications of that lens you're using. So, and if I guess when we look at it and go, well, what are the reasons, or how would I know that I need to use them during the daytime? So the most common things you see from getting too much blue light during the day from being indoors too much is eye strain is probably the biggest, headaches, migraines, even just like dry eyes. Another one is, which is an interesting one, people like it's a common thing because, like, you know, I used to work in the in an office for a number of years, and a common thing people would say, like, I wore glasses all the time, most people wouldn't, like, oh, I just feel so like zapped at the end of the day. And it's because the blue light coming into your overexposure to blue light is raising your cortisol and adrenaline levels so high and keeping them chronically elevated that just it just we it just runs the brain out, like it's just overworking it. So yeah, you feel zapped. So like that those are other symptoms. So like wearing the glasses will really help trying to reduce the migraines, headaches, eye strain, sore eyes, but it will really, you should see like one of the biggest things we see is like Oh, I feel fine at the end of the day. I don't feel like I've just been drained from staring at a screen all day.
I feel like you'll appreciate this in kind of a humorous way. I was working corporate at the time, and I mean, I was on the computer all the time during my regular shift, and we went through a period where we were so inundated with requests at the time that we had to do like 7 weeks of overtime, and it was like 2 hours extra a day of being on the computer. And I think it was like week four it came by, and I remember going to my girlfriend who was working at reception at the time and being like, I think I have a effing brain tumor. And she was like, what? Like, why? I was like, because my head is killing me. My eyes are sore. I have this like pulsating in the back of my brain, it felt like. And I remember going to the doctors and be like, I think I have a brain tumor. And he's like, why? What is happening? And I told him, he's like, okay, first of all, like, you need to stop Googling your symptoms because you stop doing that. But he's like, what? Like, what are you doing differently? And I was like, well, I'm working overtime and it's like 2 hours extra a day on the computer. And he's like, well, that's your problem right there. Stop doing it. I was like, well, I can't. And he's like, well, you have to figure out a way to not be on the computer so much. Like, that's exactly what is causing your problems. Like, I promise you, stop it or reduce your amount of tech time and your headaches and migraines will go away. Because it's a scary thought to think of. I mean, I was convinced. I was like, this is it. This is how I go. And he was like, no, it's I promise you, this is what the reason is.
Now that is a common thing, right? It's more common than you think now as well. Like people in a way it becomes a little bit normalized as well. People are like, oh, that's just what it is. Like I work and that's just what happens when you work on a screen lots, right? But the scary thing to look at, and the research is only really starting to come out now because, right, our society hasn't been using tech at these levels for that long, right? And so longer term studies are of what are the impacts, say, when you do this for 10 years, right? And so the migraines and the headaches and all that, they're just like warning signs to you, be like, hey, like this is a problem. But what it's actually doing is it's actually starting to really start to cause damage to your eyes. And so like we're now seeing research coming out around macular degeneration happening, right? And the blue light's impact on that. So we're seeing it in the slightly older generation where they've done the 10 years on the screens, and now we're just seeing an uprise in all these eye diseases that are suddenly start to creep through. And it's like, oh, hold on a minute. Yeah, all that blue light exposure is actually not just a problem of symptoms of headaches and migraines. It's actually going to do permanent damage to you later in life. So, if you don't have symptoms, that doesn't necessarily mean it's not causing damage. So we should be looking at it as not a reactive measure, but more of a preventative measure. I mean, like, hey, we know tech is great, but if we use it too much, it's not good for us. So we should be looking at like smarter ways of using it just to make sure, like, hey, later on in life, I'm not going to have problems because of all the time I spent on a screen.
For sure. Do you know who Dr. Andrew Huberman is?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Big time.
I remember listening to him on a podcast talk about, because I think he was talking about at one point, like light optimization and how we can use light for both good and not so good. And he was saying that constant exposure to like blue light actually changes like the retina of your eyes and causes the degenerative disease. And he was saying, you know, like think of kids who are like, you have toddlers now who know people or parents are so happy because their 2-year-old knows how to control their iPad and stuff. And he's like, this is not a good thing. Like you're doing so much damage to their eyes and stuff. And he was talking about, you know, if you are on a screen a lot, like a lot of us can't help it. We work, that's our lives. But, you know, try to I think he was saying like every 20 minutes or something to like literally stare off into the horizon. And that will kind of help reset the eyes and that they're not doing that degenerative like almond shape of the eyeballs, which is like that's wild to think about. And that's also something that doesn't happen overnight. This is a long-term thing that I feel like is somehow even worse, because if it is overnight you can kind of stop it, I think, if it happens. But it when it's so long-term and it compounds, I almost feel like maybe too much damage is done by the time you realize you have those symptoms and signs.
Yeah, that's it, right? Like once you get to that point, it's like all the tools you're using now are just like to stop it getting even worse. Like the damage is being done. Like to try and reverse like 10 years of overuse of screen time, it's probably going to take another 10 years of like not having an overuse of screen time. But an interesting pathway as well to look at beyond the damage to the eyes and stuff is the, and this actually falls into like how we consume tech now, is the blue light exposure actually creates a dopamine pathway, right? So dopamine is the reward system. So blue light will give you a shot of dopamine essentially. So what's happening, if you think about it, why everyone's addicted to tech, right? Because they're literally just getting big doses of blue light constantly. And so what that does is eventually, if you continue to boost your dopamine over and over, you become like dope in a way, like dopamine resistant, right? And like you're searching that high constantly, right? It's almost like a drug. Well, it is a drug, right? That's why I look at blue light, and that's why literally people are like glued and cannot get rid of their devices, because like the addictive nature of, say, social platforms is there, but there's also an element of literally the biological pathway of the light you're taking in is making you addicted to the device as well. And it's creating a vicious cycle where you're like, I need more of it. And then it's just consuming itself, and it plays into even at nighttime, right? Like I can't sleep, so what do? I grab my phone. What does my phone do? Well, it makes me so I can't sleep. So then you're just like in this vicious cycle. So I think it's beyond also not just looking at, okay, like what it's doing to our health, to our eyes, to our sleep, but it's also, you've got to look at what it's doing to our mind as well, and like playing into the neurotransmitters, which are altering your mood and your motivation and the energy as well. So yeah, there's a lot of different factors to look at how powerful such a overlooked thing can actually be, and how it interfaces with our whole life, and how we feel and how we act and everything.
I also heard recently a really world-renowned dermatologist talking, and this was like a new study that had come out. And maybe you guys can capitalize on this because I know people don't want to, or they want to protect their youthful skin and their appearance and stuff. And she was saying, like, she's like, oh, I can absolutely tell people like what side of their face that they use their phone on, because there's so much blue light damage to certain sides of their face from when they're on their phone. And she was saying like the amount of skin cancer that has gone up, and it's not so much because we're getting more sun, which yes, could be a contributing factor, but she's like everybody's on their phones all the time, and that blue light is damaging their skin and their collagen, and people are looking older, they're getting skin cancer, they're getting wrinkles, they're getting like almost like a burn in their skin from using their phone. And I had never thought of it that way. And if that's not a reason alone to take care of things, like, right? Like, even if it's like a truly vanity thing, you're like, that, I mean, yes, the brain and everything, like, is huge, and people want to protect that. But I think if you can even think of like your physical appearance could be changing from lights, and like that is also something to be mindful of, if not for your overall health.
Yeah, well, the skin is actually really, really interesting, because there is a lot of emerging research coming out around the skin. So there was actually a cool piece of research that came out like 2005, so it's not that old, and it looked at and it is on the light kind of thing, looking at like, so in our eyes we've got visual receptors, which are rods and cones, so that allows us to see. Light comes in, it interacts with those receptors, that transmits into our brain the visual signals. We also have receptors in our eyes called melanopsin receptors. So those receptors aren't for eyesight. They're the ones that those receptors will take in the frequencies of light, particularly blue light, and that's how it signals into the brain to either tell you it's daytime, nighttime, release cortisol, release melatonin. But what they found is those melanopsin receptors, in 2005, they did a piece of research, and they found the same receptors actually exist in your skin. So, and then what they also have uncovered is your skin has its own circadian rhythm, essentially, right? So it's taking in the signals of light during the different times of the day, reactivating with the melanopsin receptors, sending signals to the brain to check in. And so in the brain, you've got the SCN, which is actually like the master clock of your day-night cycles. It kind of controls different biological processes in the body. So the skin is actually interfacing with that. And things like, so if you're getting too much blue light at the wrong times of the day, so like at nighttime, your skin is supposed to take a rest from blue light, and that's when the skin will undergo its own repair mechanisms, right? So collagen production will increase, and it will clean up any oxidative damage and stress that happens during the day from the blue light exposure during the day, right? But now, right, all the lights come on, all our skin is exposed. So you may have the blockers on, you may do all those things that I talked about, the glasses, protecting the eyes, protecting the main signal to the brain. But if your skin isn't, if your skin is still receiving the wrong frequencies, it's taking in and absorbing them and processing them and stopping certain processes the skin should be undergoing on a 24-hour cycle. And so that's where you see the breakdown and the damage of the skin and the non-repair that should be happening on a daily basis. So that is like, and in the industry that I've been in, we've been so hyper-focused on like the eyes, right? And like protecting the eyes because that's like how you're telling your that, but like I'm like, the skin is so important as well. And so that's why the lighting in your home becomes such an important role beyond the eyes and looking at the whole body and the skin is like, well, I've got these glasses on and I'm looking at my TV, I've got my phone, I've got all this bright white LED light on, but I'm also sitting around in a singlet and shorts and I'm bathing myself in blue light, right? Like you haven't quite got it right. It's just, yeah, so you've got to look at everything, and that's the more we start to uncover about how frequencies of light just have so many different interfaces with the body. We'll probably uncover more and more. Like, I mean, that research we only came out in 2005. They only discovered the melanopsin receptors in the eyes in 1998. So, like, we're not talking like this is all, you know, within the last 20 years sort of thing, like this research. But then we've also got this that research coming out, you know, not so long ago, but this the evolvement of technology is just on this massive parabolic curve up. And I don't think the people creating the technology are considering what the impacts are on human health. And quite an interesting one, I like this one as well, is you'll notice the shift even in like the last 5 years, like the old incandescent light bulbs have kind of been moved out, right? They've been shifted on. LED lighting is the way to go. It's green, it's good for the environment, it's long life, it's low energy, right? And it's got to a point even in the US where it's illegal to buy incandescent lighting, right? It literally got banned from being imported. And when you actually look at incandescent lighting and the spectral output of it, and it's a really good light. Like it's amazing for your health. Like it's got very low amounts of blue light in it. And it's got lots of red and infrared light. So that's the heat that comes off the bulb is the infrared. That's such a good light source, right? Like I get it. Like it's not like it is a little bit higher in energy consumption, but this big shift to like sustainability, good for the planet, good for the environment. Human health has been completely not even considered in this. So we've just shifted all of the lighting in our environment to this like green lighting, but have completely not considered the impacts it has on our health.
There's somebody else. I was a big fan of him. He went off on a rant and it kind of lost my vote of confidence. But before that happened, he was a huge fan. He's like, I don't have any LED in my lights. I went back. He's like, I had to go to like the black web, the black market, and find like incandescent light bulbs. But he's like, no, I swapped out everything because he is the same way. He does not think LED lights are beneficial at all to our health. And I mean, what he was saying, his cost difference was for the incandescent light bulbs to LEDs. He's like, I might spend like $25 more a year on it. And yes, there was that whole like, is it more sustainable and stuff? And he's like, that's an argument. But he goes, health reasons, like, I'm not going to be around long enough to help make an impact if I'm being bombarded by all this LED lighting on all this blue lighting and all this technology. Like, I'm going to do my part so that I'm the healthiest version of myself so that I can make a big difference in the world and, you know, do all these things. So I would actually love if you kind of talked about it, but can we like put the cherry on top of people? People are probably already like, oh my God, what else is going on in my house that I need to worry about. Can we talk about LED lighting and maybe why that's not the most beneficial for people to have in their lights because of the, is it the flicker that's the issue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can talk about LED lighting. So when I say LED lighting, I would caveat that with like conventional LED lighting, because essentially, full disclosure, I sell LED lighting, right? But like, so LED stands for light emitting diode. So that's like the terminology we kind of place on all this kind of lighting we use. But like that a diode, light emitting diodes can be made to be healthy if you just look at what's wrong with them. So when we talk about conventional LEDs, which is pretty much 99% of the light exposure we get from streetlights, car headlights, phone screens, computer screens, all the lighting in your home, anything now, it's pretty much all moved to that kind of technology. There's three main issues with it. So the first one we've kind of already touched on, which is the output of the light, very, very high in that 455 nanometer blue light, no red light, no beneficial frequencies in it. The next is the flicker. So flicker is, it's more called like invisible flicker because you can't really see it. Well, if you can see it, that's a big problem. But most of the time you can't visually see it. But what it is the light itself is turning off and on very, very quickly at about 120 times a second. The reason it's doing that is the electricity coming into our homes is AC electricity or AC mains, which is alternating current. So what that means is the electricity, the way that comes from the substation to your home, it can travel such a long distance as they pulse it down the line. So it's pulsing at 120 times a second. Now, with the older style lighting, the way to kind of think about incandescent versus LED, it's like analog versus digital. So the incandescent is a heat source lighting. So what that is it's the electricity is coming in, it's heating up a filament, and that filament's like burning essentially and creating light, right? So the pulsing electricity coming in, the whole filament doesn't shut down and turn back on because it's pulsing so quickly, it doesn't lose its heat. But with an LED, it's a digital light source. So when it's got electricity, it's on. And as soon as it doesn't have it, it shuts itself straight off. So it's just going on, off, on, off, on, off very, very quickly. Your eyes can't see that because beyond, I think it's 60 frames a second, your eye can't actually see the flash. But what's happening is your brain is actually processing a light turning off and on 120 times a second. That's essentially making your brain work overtime. It's causing neurological stress on the brain. It's going, what's going on here in nature? Back to nature again, the sun is a direct current source. It just continues to produce light. It doesn't flash on and off. There is no such thing as flashing light in nature. It's all like fire, all of that. It's all direct current, continuous light source. So you've got the blue light frequencies causing the headache, eye strains. You've got the flicker causing neurological stress as well. So it's like, those two combined, like if you had like a perfect light source that didn't have the blue light but had the flicker, you'd still probably have a lot of those symptoms going on. Now, it is possible. So first of all, it is possible to manipulate the light source to be flicker free and to have, well, either the right levels of blue light or no blue light, depending on the day, right? And still be an LED light source that is low energy, long life, all those great things that we look for in lighting. The issue is cost. And this is like one thing we looked at and we're like, well, why is this happening? Why aren't they just producing these things to be healthier for us? And it comes down to the price. First of all, to change, like it's the diodes to create the white light. It's just cheaper to use these ones that have a high spike in blue. So they just use them. The flicker issue, you need to have very specific componentry or transformers inside the LED bulb that will take in that AC current, manipulate it, and then deliver a direct current source to the actual light emitting diode. So essentially it's buffering a bit of like energy inside the bulb to deliver it into the light source. That's all expensive. So they don't do it. And it sort of comes down to a, like, the way I like to say is like, oh, if you can't see it, it's not a problem, right? Like most people are like, oh, well, I don't know what you're talking about. There is no flicker. My lights are just on. But I've got all these symptoms, but I can't physically see anything. And that comes down to the third thing with lighting, which is EMFs. And this is another one where like you can't see it, right? So is it a problem? Is it harming me? And so conventional lighting, so EMFs are electromagnetic fields. They could range from radio frequency, so that's Wi-Fi, so cell phones, all that sort of stuff. We're not really too concerned about that with lighting, unless you've got smart lighting. Anything with smart on it, you probably should stay away from. So, and I'm not particularly saying like, hey, like you should, go to the middle of nowhere so you're not exposed to any EMFs. Like all I'm saying is like, particularly first of all with radio frequencies, if every single one of your light bulbs was like a Wi-Fi router in your home and you had 40 light bulbs emitting radio frequencies, that would be a problem. It's going to really cause oxidative stress on the cells. It's going to over stress your cells as well. But the other two main things to look at, or there's three actually, is electric fields, magnetic fields, and dirty electricity. So these are three kind of EMFs that really come about from electrical devices, not so much like cell phones, Wi-Fi, all that, but literally a device that's powered will emit fields from it that are to do with electricity. And most lighting will have really bad fields that emit like a good like 3 to 4 meters away from the device. So if you've got a whole bunch of light bulbs and they're emitting these fields, it's again, it's causing stress on the body. It's causing oxidative stress, cellular breakdown. It's actually making your mitochondria not work as efficiently. So that's another factor to take into account with your lighting, is it low EMF? And that is a really, really hard thing to do with a light bulb, is to actually make it low EMF from a particularly from the magnetic and the electric fields. But again, it kind of comes down to the componentry inside it and what's being used to build the actual light, not the light source itself, but what's actually powering the light source. And again, if you can't see it, is why would I go out and buy? You could try and convince the average punter out there to spend $30 on a light bulb that kind of visually looks like a light bulb, and the other one looks like a light bulb, and it's $5, and they both produce light. And when I turn them on, it looks the same, but potentially, just because you can't see it, it's actually causing harm to your health. It's a really hard sell.
It's so fu it's my husband and I were literally just talking about this the other day, and I don't know if it's so much a thing over where you live, like in North America. So before we hopped on this call, I was telling you, like, my husband lived in Australia, and the one thing that he always talks about when he lived there was how expensive it is to eat really unhealthy there. Like, can of pop, how expensive it is. Junk food, how expensive it is. Whereas on the flip side here in North America, like, you can go to McDonald's or get a can of pop for like dollars. Like, it costs next to nothing. And we were essentially just saying, like, you think people or the government even would invest in, they talk about how overburdened our healthcare system is and how we don't have enough doctors or nurses and the healthcare system's on the verge of collapse and, people just aren't as healthy as they once were. And it's like, well, make the things that are so unhealthy expensive, make the things that are healthy inexpensive. And like, yes, you were saying the cost to, maybe produce a light that's an LED versus not is like there's a cost difference. That's why they go the cheaper route. But it's like such a long-term thing, right? If they invested in giving us light bulbs that didn't cause all these things, you would notice that your society flourishes because they're not overburdened with all these healthcare problems and then, leaching into it costs more money, I think, in the long run when you have people who are on sick leave or disability or they can't work because they're having all these health problems. And then, they're burdening the healthcare system and you can't pay your doctors or your nurses enough and people are burning out. It's like, well, these seem like they might cost a little bit more upfront initially, but it's like a long-term thing. You're gonna make your country or your society like healthier overall individuals. And isn't that the ultimate goal? But
Yeah,
that could
it's
be a whole
interesting.
podcast episode on
It's
in itself.
very interesting. Yeah, it seems like we're so short-sighted about like, oh, hey, like what can we do right now to have some kind of to make it look like there's a change, but like we're not really considering how can we like come a level above that and fix it from the root cause, right? Maybe it's because elections happen every 3 years or 4 years. They're like, well, I need to admit, like the governments need to show they made a change in this 4 years, and like we're really like trying to unravel a problem that's going to take 10 years, right? I don't know. Yeah, like the whole health thing is quite interesting. Like the last 3 years have shown us, right? Like I never saw once, like, hey, like these are the things you can do to get healthy, like get outside, get exercise, and like eat well. I'm like, where's that messaging? Like, where's the messaging to support your immune system? I'm like, we literally were told the opposite, like, stay inside, don't go outside. I'm like, oh my God, like, the sun is like the thing that will strengthen your immune system. Like, it's, yeah. So it's just, yeah, that's a whole nother rabbit hole
Part
that would
two.
take. Yeah.
What are some things that you do in your daily life that help to limit your exposure? There's things that we can't help, if we're going into a building or something, or we're shopping, Christmas shopping at the mall, or I know everybody's doing it from home these days, but you know what I'm saying. Like, do you have like a protector on your phone, so at least that way you're protecting yourself? Are you putting your phone into red light mode at nighttime? Do you not have any Wi-Fi in the bedroom? Like, what are some tangible things that you do during your day that help limit your exposure, since there's not we can't always control it?
So the biggest thing I do, which is free, completely free, is I go outside. Just as much as, like, not like live outside. I'm busy and I'm entrepreneur. I'm on my screen actually a lot, but I just find time to go outside, right? So in the morning I'm outside, normally within 5, 10 minutes of getting up, I'm sitting out there in bare feet, just looking at the sun for I don't even have that much time, like 5 minutes, right? That's all I have enough time for at the moment. So 5 minutes is better than no minutes, right? It's enough of that signal coming into the brain that it's daytime. It sets that, it anchors a circadian rhythm. So that's the first thing. Like, the number one thing, which doesn't cost a cent, is just to go outside. And then it's looking at how we can do that maybe just during the day as well. Like, hey, like, go outside for lunchtime. Like, go for a walk in the morning. Like, all these people, like, allowed to take smoke breaks. Well, can you just go out and take like a light break? Like, was just say you were going for a smoke. I don't know. Again, I don't like. But then it's like from that point onwards, it's looking at like, okay, like, how can I? What tools can I use during the day to limit it? And for me, it's a little bit easier because I work from home, so I've got the ability to control my environment. So I'm in a room with like lots of natural light, lots of windows coming in, so I'm allowing the natural light, which is like offsetting a lot of any blue light exposure I've got. I use a piece of software on my computer called Iris Tech, or there's another one called like F.Lux. So that's a piece of software you can install on your computer. It will you can limit that, you can alter the blue light exposure coming off the screen. It's good. It's not perfect, because when I talked about like different frequencies of light, like, my question is like, I don't know how much blue light it's removing. Well, I do technically, because I've got a very expensive spectrometer I can use to look at it, but no one else, the average person, doesn't. So, investment in a set of like good quality daytime science-backed glasses are really good. So you're looking at a good clear lens or a light yellow lens that you can use during the day, particularly if you're indoors in an office or a mall or somewhere where it's got that real bright white lighting. Like, just like limiting it on your screen isn't really going to be enough. But then it's like, how pretty much like at a real high level summary, it's like, look, and things like you said, like, yeah, like altering your phone screen, like, it's free. Like, Apple night shift mode is like, I call it day shift mode. You should have it on during the day. It's like makes your screen like a yellow tinge, but have that on during the day. So, but it's looking at how can you look at all your different devices. Potentially, you can't control the lighting, so you use the glasses, bringing down that exposure, but then getting enough of the right light. So going outdoors and getting some of that light. We haven't really touched on this, but another kind of tool you can use, this is more of an investment, is about looking at like red light therapy. And the idea with that is you're bringing in a whole lot of those beneficial wavelengths. So you can get huge, big, like near infrared panels, which are very, very good for all sorts of healing and energy optimization, health optimization. They help supercharge your mitochondria to produce energy more efficiently. But even just a smaller one, you can get small little handheld ones or little desktop ones. As like, I've actually got one like which sits behind my monitor, and I'll occasionally turn it on, and it's producing near infrared light. I'll have that, plus I'll turn the red light down so it's not blinding my eyes, but that's offsetting all the blue light around you as well. So if you can't bring down that blue light exposure, how can you bring in more of those missing wavelengths? So you're trying to balance it more, trying to tip the scales more in your favor. Those are the kind of the main things you want to look at, really.
No, I think it's so, what you're saying is just like it's being proactive, I guess, right? Like we live, honestly, if you looked at the world we live in a toxic world, and it's like you can't control every particle of air you breathe in or the water you consume, but we do little things, right? We have a water filter. We, you know, if you can do an air purifier, great. If not, just open a window in your house and get some, you know, outdoor air into the house. Like, and I also think we always want to make things like super, super expensive. And like you said, just go outside and look up at the sun, maybe not directly into the sun, but, you know, just get some sunlight on your face. And I live in Canada where it's starting to get cold outside, but my husband and I go on walks every single day. Sometimes it's a 10-minute walk, sometimes it's 40, but it's just the idea, I think, of getting outside. And, you know, you talked before about not caring what people think of you wearing those glasses. That would be me. I look like a complete idiot when I go outside now. I have like snow pants on, I have a hat, a toque, a winter jacket. Like I look ridiculous. Don't care because I'm warm. But it's the same thing with like those blue light blocking glasses. Like even if they looked silly, I'd be like, I don't care, it's doing so much good for me. Like,
yeah,
doesn't bother me at all. If people were interested in grabbing, you know, some of your products, talk a little bit about block blue light. What can people get from you? What can they expect if they're shopping on your website and all of that good stuff?
Yeah, cool. So we've got quite a lot of resource on our website. So our website's blockbluelight.com. There you'll find a whole range of different products. It can be a little bit overwhelming when you first get there, but like we do try and break it down to make it quite easy. So we've got a whole different range of glasses for the daytime for the reasons we talked about, to just bring those levels down. We've got the nighttime glasses as well. So those are very different things. You don't intermix those two. So people want the solution, like I want one pair of glasses I can just use for everything, but unfortunately that doesn't work. So you've got daytime glasses, you've got nighttime glasses, we've got different lens options in there, and we talk all about if you want like the redder lenses which block all the green light, or just the amber ones to block blue light. We've got different levels for different kind of people's needs. Then there's the lighting, which is this is where we've spent so much time in research and development. We've got all different light bulbs. We've got like the can light replacements. We've got pretty much what we've developed on our lighting page is like, think about all the different ways that you interface with lighting at night. We've got a solution for it. We've got motion sensor night lights. We've got book lights. We've got reading lamps. We've got different fittings of light bulbs. So what we've got there is literally, if you can, we've got strip lighting. We've got everything. So the idea is you can look at ways you're using, because you might, for example, you might do a couple of light bulbs, but then you're like, oh, I go to the toilet every night and then I turn on the light, right? And I'm just undoing all this work. So what we've tried to think about is all the ways that people, different things that people do at night and day, and tried to create different solutions. We've also got lighting for the daytime as well. So we've created full spectrum lighting. So what we talked about with the sun having equal amounts of blue and all the other colors of the rainbow, we've created that in a light bulb as well. So the idea is that's going to help you during the daytime. It's a bright white light, which is perfect, but it's not like a typical LED light we talked about. That also has the ability to change into a night bulb all in the one bulb. So you can, without EMFs as well, without the smart technology. So what we created was you've got the full spectrum mode, but then you just go to the light switch and you turn it off and then on again. And that actually initiates it to change mode. So then you can change it into from the day mode to like a late afternoon or even early evening mode. So it just lowers the blue light down to more like an incandescent light. And then you can flick it once more and then it'll go into like a full on orange ambery mode. And so that's a really cool piece of technology. It is a little bit more expensive, but it gives you the ability to literally to alter your lighting from a single light bulb to align with the different phases of the sun. So that's a really cool piece of technology. Then we've got other things like red light therapy. I've talked very briefly about that. That's a whole nother podcast, but we've got all sorts of different sized red light therapy panels, which is the near infrared plus the red light in very specific frequencies that are very bioactive in the body. And they're not used as like general purpose lighting. They're used in a more of a therapeutic sense. So you're using them like you're standing very close to the device, you're using it for like 10 minutes. It's very, very high powered and it's having very specific biological benefits in the body. So that's a whole nother area we've got. The last thing we've got, which is My favorite part is our blog. Like, we've got so much educational content on there. That's like a big part of what we do, because it's not only like, hey, like, here's all these products, buy them or whatever. It's like, here's like the problem. Here's like, you need to understand why it's a problem, and here's ways to integrate different solutions into the problem. So we've got like 80 or 90 blog posts on there, ranging from the blue light problem to the skin problem to Flickr to everything. So that's where I like people to start, because then it's like you need to learn about what the problem is first before like trying to like buy all the products to help you, because then you actually want to know how to interface them into your lifestyle to get the best out of them. And then lastly, if none of that makes sense, is just reach out to us like on chat, on email. Like, we love questions. We help people with like people are like, oh, this is my situation. Like, what's the best thing for me, sort of thing. So we really like helping people in terms of like trying to get the right products to fit their lifestyle as well.
What I like about what you and your company are doing is you've not only solved a problem, because I think sometimes there's this fear factor that people put out in the world, like blue light is not good. And then they just leave it at that. And you're like, well, okay, like what does that mean? And what do I do about it? Like you've provided tangible solutions, and you not only have a backstory of why you got into this, but you're very well researched. You're very well spoken about all of this. It's not just, like you said, you could go on to Amazon and probably buy any of this stuff for very, very cheap. And is it doing anything at all, or have you just wasted your money away? You've actually talked about what you should be looking for when it comes to purchasing even those blue blocking glasses. Like this, you need to look at things like this. This matters. So I appreciate everything you're doing. Is there anywhere else people can go online? Do you guys have an Instagram page you want to shout out? Anything along the lines of that?
Block Blue Light Official is our Instagram page. We do try and like post educational content on there as well. Not as much as we'd like to, but yeah, we do. So we are active on there, Facebook, all the social channels. Yeah, go on there, check us out, send us a DM, send us a message. We'd love to help people out.
Perfect. Thank you so much for this conversation, Daniel. This has been so much fun.
No worries. Yeah, thanks a lot. Cheers.
If you love this podcast episode, spread the love by sharing this with your friends and family, share it out on social media, and don't forget to give it a 5-star rating and review. From the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful that you are here. Until next time.